Hey everybody, if you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace?
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
This podcast is brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to hold meetings over the Internet. Reduce travel expenses. Save time. Just hold an online meeting with GoToMeeting. Try it free. Visit GoToMeeting.com/stuff.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh. There's Chuck.
Where?
Right there.
Oh.
You.
Oh, okay, yeah.
How's it going, Chuck?
It's going great.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. I don't know how many times a year you go to Tibet these days.
I had to cut back to two just because of finances and the economy.
Yeah, I mean, jet fuel is very expensive.
Very.
Do you ever fly first class, business class?
Nothing but.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes I fly in the cockpit.
That's awesome.
Which is above first class, actually.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's like pilot class. Do you know a pilot? Is that how you get in, or do you just kind of break in?
No.
You just show up like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm an amiable guy. They let me in there. Then they lock the door, of course, for safety reasons.
Sure. After you're in.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Well, when you've been to Tibet, which, as I'm sure you know, is the rooftop of the world.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's all sorts of villages, like, high up on these mountains. Have you toured any of them?
No, I've never been to Tibet.
Okay. All that was a lie, then?
I thought you meant Tibet, Georgia.
You fly to Tibet, Georgia?
Yeah.
That's a short flight.
It is.
Okay, well, no, Chuck. We're talking about Tibet, the much-disputed province outside of China.
Right.
I'm not entirely certain. Is it a part of China yet?
I don't know.
Still?
And I actually looked today and to see if it was in fact a country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think technically they still have to call it a region or a province.
I gotcha. And I know they have the government in exile led by the Dalai Lama, who I actually saw once. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, that's the Tibet we're talking about, where the Dalai Lama hails from.
Right.
Okay. Well, it turns out that there's villages everywhere. I've never visited either. I've just read about it. There's villages on the tops of these mountains, mm-hmm. which is why it's called the rooftop of the world. And these people are living at like 16,000 feet above sea level.
Right.
Which is really high.
Really
Denver,
high.
Our mile high city, mm-hmm. is like 5,000 feet above sea
right.
level. So these people make Denver look like nothing.
Yeah. It's technically, I think, the 3.03 mile high country
right.
or region.
Right. That's what it's more commonly called. Yeah.
Sure.
If you go, if you're just, you know, a regular sea level dweller, like you or I.
Right.
And we go visit Tibet, especially when we're visiting like these highest villages. Generally, we would get hypoxia.
Exactly.
Altitude sickness,
mm-hmm.
which is like nausea, dizziness, vomiting, shortness of breath.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually die from it. And so you're sitting there puking your guts out,
right.
wishing you were dead.
Right.
And all of these Tibetans are running around happy as clams.
Right.
Right?
Sherpas are laughing at you.
Sure, yeah. They're doing somersaults and pointing and laughing, yeah.
Right.
And so you're wondering what is going on here? Like, why aren't these people all, you know, dropping dead of heart attacks left and right? And
mm-hmm.
what's going on? And obviously what you would think is, well, they're used to it. Which makes sense, right?
Yeah, that's kind of an easy way to explain it.
It is. But when you think about it, they shouldn't be used to it. Humans shouldn't be used to hypoxia. So have you heard about how Tibetans avoid altitude sickness?
I have, Josh. I read your awesome article, and it actually was really interesting, I thought.
Oh, yeah, I did too, actually. It was one of those assignments where I was thinking, this is going to suck, but it turned out really well. That actually has been my experience. The more I thought the article was going to suck, the better it turned out.
Yeah, I've had that same experience, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. So, Chuck, a little background on hypoxia, right?
Right.
All it is it's a lack of oxygen in the blood.
Right.
And, of course, we need oxygen to carry out all sorts of vital processes, like, staying alive and metabolization and all that. Right?
Sure.
Okay. So these people have been trying to figure out how the Tibetans aren't hypoxic. Okay?
Yeah, I know it's coming.
They actually are hypoxic.
I know. I was kind of amazed by that.
It is. It's a little amazing. These people are running around. They're hypoxic, but they're not displaying any symptoms.
Right.
So this, of course, raises a little bit of curiosity among researchers. If Tibetans are hypoxic, how are they, not showing symptoms?
Right. Why aren't they just vomiting nonstop 24/7?
Yeah. What a bad country that would be.
I don't think people would want to go to Tibet if that was the case.
The national flag is some guy vomiting, projectile vomiting.
Yeah.
So these researchers, I think they were from, I can't remember where they were from. Maybe Emory or something?
Case Western.
Case Western. Same thing.
Close, in Ohio.
Yeah. So these guys from Case Western go, and they actually, they did this really hands-on, investigation. They used, instruments that can sense different, types of, particles in air.
Right.
And they asked Tibetans to breathe into this.
To mouth breathe, which I know is one of your favorite subjects,
mouth
breathers.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, if they're being asked to mouth breathe, as long as it's not like your default setting, I don't have a problem with it.
Right, so they weren't like your arch enemy, Kiefer Sutherland, famous mouth breather.
Okay, they were mouth breathing, agreed. But they were mouth breathing with Case Western instruments in front of them.
Sure.
And this is what the people found. This mystery has been solved, and it's pretty interesting stuff. When we exhale, we exhale carbon dioxide. That's like the big star of our exhalation.
Uh-huh.
That's what everybody knows about. We also exhale this stuff called nitric oxide.
Right.
Which our body gets rid of as a waste product, right?
Right.
Through respiration. The thing is nitric oxide actually helps dilate blood vessels. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the Tibetans have actually, their bodies have acclimated to hypoxia by keeping more of the nitric oxide in the body.
Right.
So their blood vessels are dilated more all the time, which means their heart has to work less.
Right, which it makes it easier to deliver the oxygen throughout the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
It is very cool. And, okay, so now we have a perfect example of evolution in isolation.
Yep.
Okay? Some humans have gone up to where humans aren't supposed to be and have adapted. They're not the only group that's done that. There's some other groups, right?
Indeed.
So my hypothesis would be that these other groups would display the same phenotype, the same trait.
Right, you would think anyone living at a high altitude anywhere in the world, because we evolved more or less at sea level, is that correct?
Yeah, and we're sea level species and we're a subtropical species.
Right.
Yeah, that's where we're supposed to be is
we're beachcombers, essentially.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. But of course, we've got our Nordic friends up north, and we have our friends down in Chile and these, people in Tibet.
Right.
Humans live where we're not supposed to live.
Right.
And the Tibetans show that we can adapt.
Exactly.
But wouldn't you think that we would all adapt the same way given the similar situations?
I would think so, but we found out, or you found out through your research, that's not the case.
Yes, and actually this has been known for a while. The Tibetan Case Western study was, I think, within the last decade.
Yeah, 2005.
There's this Frenchman named François Viol, I believe, and in 1890 he visited the Andes.
Mm-hmm.
This is another high-altitude, mountain-dwelling people, Machu Picchu, way
exactly.
up on the hill.
South
awesome.
America.
Right. So he goes down there because he had the same question, a century or so ago. He wanted to know how these people were living at high altitudes when, they should be suffering from hypoxia. Do you know what he found out?
I do.
And was it that they keep more nitric oxide?
No, actually, he theorized and was correct that they had more red blood cells, a higher red blood cell count. And that's important because red blood cells contain hemoglobin, mm-hmm. which is sort of like the FedEx man of your body. Hemoglobin delivers oxygen.
Right, right. So they have, their bodies produce more red blood cells.
More red blood cells.
So it can, I guess every part per million of blood can hold more oxygen than, you know, yours or mine.
Right.
So, okay, so we've got two, high altitude dwelling groups of people that have evolved in isolation, but have evolved to, or have adapted differently.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
Yes, and there's a third.
There is a third. Yes. You want to tell them about them?
Yeah, this is the highlands of Ethiopia, which I didn't realize Ethiopia had highlands. I don't know much about that place.
I didn't either, actually, until this very article.
Yeah, yeah, which is the great part about our job. We learn things all the time.
Yeah.
So they don't have either one of these, as you know.
No, and they're living at a high altitude as well. I think the Tibetans live the highest up. But both the Andean dwellers and the people who live in the Ethiopian highlands, they're living at a high enough altitude that they should be hypoxic, right?
Right.
And also with studies of them, they haven't turned up any of the Ethiopian and Highlanders. They haven't turned up any kind of adaptation.
Yeah, that's the one that really is strange,
right.
I think.
They don't have any kind of oxygen delivery system, like extra red blood cells.
Right.
They don't maintain their NO levels more than normal people.
Right.
And it's possible that we just haven't found the phenotype, this adaptation.
True.
We haven't figured it out yet. But for all intents and purposes, these people should be, you know, dead, dying, or, you know, vomiting at the very least all the time.
Right. But they're not.
No, it's weird. It's weird.
Yeah, and you know, Josh, reading this article, it made me wonder, there may be studies on this, if people from Tibet and the Ethiopian highlands, if they have trouble when they come down to sea level or below, let's say they went to Amsterdam for the weekend, which is half of Holland, resides below sea level.
Like up to 20 feet.
Yeah, I wonder if they have problems breathing, or if their body adapts to that quickly, or what.
Or if there'd be like a rush of oxygen.
Yeah, exactly.
Like they'd get too much of it.
Right, they might feel high all the time or something.
Which would be kind of cool.
Of course, it is Amsterdam.
Yeah, right. I think that they would probably feel high no matter what.
Right.
Yeah. And hello to our Dutch friends. We love you. All right, so other than the Ethiopian Highlanders, I mean, the questions have been asked and answered. We know why the Tibetans aren't hypoxic, and we also know why the Andean dwellers aren't hypoxic.
Right, well, actually, Tibetans are hypoxic.
How they deal with it. So I think we'll probably revisit it once we finally figure out what's going on with the Ethiopian Highlanders.
I think that's a great idea.
And stick around to find out which article that Chuck and I think you should read in these trying economic times. It'll save your finances.
You know, true love is always being excited from the first moment you see one another. And every time after that, it's taking long walks together in the summer, or gazing longingly into each other's eyes, and watching their tail wag when they chase a squirrel in the yard.
Well, the Pedigree brand asked about believing in love at first sight, and honestly, the answer is yes. As everyone knows from listening to this show, we have pulled all of our dogs off the street that Emily and I have had over the years, either right off the street or through a local shelter and working with them, and they've all become valued family members, and we think they've appreciated it too.
Yeah, Chuck, there is a Pedigree loyalty survey that found that 90% of first-time dog owners report having a dog improved at least one of their relationships, and 80% of first-time dog owners are overwhelmingly more likely to have made at least one new connection as a result of getting a dog. And 95% of all dog owners say that the bond they have with their dogs is closer than they ever expected. Not a big surprise.
That's true. We all know that adopting a dog can lead to a lifetime meaningful connection, and real love can exist between a pet and a pet parent.
You got that straight.
Pedigree is committed to helping more dogs find loving homes. Opening your home to a dog can help open your heart. And love at first sight is closer than you think, because it's available at your local dog shelter.
Yeah, very important point. You can find love at first sight with the Pedigree Adoption Drive, from June 7th to June 9th. And the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide.
That's right. So just visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more and see full terms and conditions.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
What's that article that we teased all of our listeners with?
Right, in these trying economic times, I think one article people should read is top five things that devalue your house.
Mm-hmm. By Jessica Toothman.
Jessica Toothman, fellow writer. And now is not the time to devalue your home. Everyone knows you want to add value to your home, or at least, you know, toe the line and keep it dead even.
Exactly, and Toothman can tell you some easy steps you can take to keep your house from devaluing, depending on how you read it.
Right.
If you're looking to devalue your house for some nefarious reason, this could be a how-to guide for that as well.
Sure, like spite.
Fantastic. Well, you can find all this stuff, everything we've talked about, at howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.